All right, welcome back to another episode of One Take, proudly brought to you by our headline sponsors in the TAB. They've got a new look app as well, so if you haven't already, download the app or jump on their website. Plenty of options for your rugby league, and as always, please gamble responsibly. But Monty, mate, obviously a tough day over the weekend, not the result we wanted, but how's things with you, bro? What did you make of that performance?
Yeah, strangely enough, I think for most of us Warriors fans or Wires fans, our weekend sort of was determined by, whether that was Sunday, by the outcome of the game or how we feel about our boys' performance on the weekend, and that's natural. And I know when you're driving a Warriors car around, you often get the mana wave or you get the look of, sometimes. So not many mana waves, but I tell you what, there's a lot of very loyal, strong fans out there who often DM me with their thoughts and their opinions, mate. And there's a lot of love for the boys still.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, we created some great opportunities there to score points, and we were in the arm wrestle for that whole game once again,
like we have been over the last couple of weeks. But what are you kind of seeing at the moment? Is it a team that's maybe down a little on confidence? Because when it's been a three-game patch like that, it is hard to get up and about, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what they wanted to address in that nine-day period off was defence. And when I saw the first set of the match, and if you go back and you have a look at the first set of the match, they were, you know, that's the time when you set the tone of a match offensively and defensively. Newcastle at home, really hard place to visit. They came out, they fired. But they misfired in a way because the boys, the Warriors, were up there. They were, you know, making the most of the contacts, the collisions. Mm-hmm. And I think they pretty much kept them to about 30 metres in that opening set. And they're doing all the wrestling. They're doing all the contact and the connected stuff that we've seen in past year that we wanted to see from them. And there was a big improvement. But then what followed after that was a lot of individual errors again. And when you're talking about confidence, maybe that's playing a part in it. Maybe within themselves, they're forcing it too much, or they're trying too hard to impress and not thinking about their task or their job in hand. And also too, when it was, I think it was 70-30% in possession for that first half, made it really difficult because then you're under a little bit more fatigue than normal. Now, it can be misbelieving or not very accurate when you look at the game at the end of the match and it's 50-50 in terms of possession, because what happens is if you're not getting that possession split throughout the match. No use getting it in the last back half when you're a little bit tired and you're trying to throw everything you got them. That's when your predictability is there, and that's when you have less punch and less accuracy and you're less potent. And I think that's where, if you look at the stats in the last few weeks, you go 50-50. What's the problem here?
Yeah.
That's what occurs, man.
One thing I noticed Webby touched on in the post-game press conference was we were dominating territory and putting them in the right areas of the field and patches of that game, but then would just relieve it, take the pressure off with a bit of a piggyback penalty, allowing teams to get out of their half. Is that just individual moments of just switching off or maybe just pushing it a little bit too far?
Yeah, it's a little bit of that, what I'm saying. They're trying a little bit hard to force the issue, sometimes defensively holding a little bit down, a little bit longer, or not trusting the systems and getting back or being on page or having the comms up with your mates. But then sometimes it's just ill discipline and you get that under fatigue, or if you're under pressure and you know, seeing the boys, you know, for the last sort of month, they haven't got a result that they're accustomed to, especially through last year, and you know, started off the year with a lot of brilliance but not enough for long periods of time, which means they don't get the 2 points. So individually, their top 2 inches can play a part in you, and like we said, you know, the effort is there, but effort is not enough. You've got to be clinical. You have to make sure you do the right thing, and for very long periods of time. Penalties that we don't normally see from some of our most senior players, and then just mistakes. Yes, it was wet and it was raining and it was terrible conditions, but both teams were playing in those conditions. So I know now there's a lot of frustrated fans out there, but I can tell the fans now there's no one more frustrated than the players, because when you know you've worked hard all week to resurrect some problems, to fix up some systems and to do what you need to do to get the result, and you don't get it and you've got no one else to blame but yourself within in those systems, it hurts.
You're mentioning the word systems there quite a bit, and this is a system that we saw have so much success last year. How important is it now for the lads to stick to those? Because when things are going a little wrong, you often quite want to get quite inventive within yourself and chuck that out the door and try fix the problem yourself. But it is a team sport, so how important is it to stick to that?
Yeah, look, when I was coaching boxers, when I was doing a bit of coaching myself, a favourite nice and blunt way of saying is don't make shit up. Because when you make shit up, you get in trouble, you know. And I tell some of our young pathway boys, you can shine all you want. You can have X factor within the systems. By all means, express yourself. Be who you are. Let's see that. But within systems, because that's when you know you're all on the same page within systems, that you're not being too hard to play alongside. You're not going, geez, what is this person doing? You know, the comms and that, everything is there as well. Mm-hmm. I just want to give a shout out to the Newcastle fans. I was talking to Grant Pocklington, who's one of the coaches with Paul Poe for the Flegg side,
mm-hmm.
and they reckon that over there they were turning out in force. So for the expat Kiwis or the Kiwis over there at Newcastle, McDonald Jones Stadiums, who just turned up and supported everywhere they go, they're seeing the Warriors colours, mate. So that is absolutely huge.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned the fans showing up in a major way there too to McDonald Jones Stadium. I wanted to touch on the field a little bit. I don't know your thoughts on this, but early doors, we saw Rog put a bit of a step in there and it looked like he'd just taken to it with a golf club. The divot that he left was massive. Does that add another element as well? Obviously, Newcastle, it's their home track. They're probably a bit more used to conditions like that. Our boys probably rocked over there hoping to have dry conditions and play some running footy.
Yeah, I think both teams were hoping for dry conditions, but if you think about and if you think about the salary and the product of our game, which is, you know, probably at its high all-time peak right now, the field should be in a lot better condition than that, surely. I mean, the 20 metres that they dropped in at the end of the game, and I know both sides plough on it, but, you know, is that where Kurt got injured when he came through? You know, when you got Roger, and I think there was a time there through that game where they thought it was a knock-on, but it was because the ball got hit by a divot. So you just sort of need to sort that out. Not saying that it's a result of the game.
No, for sure.
Just for the welfare of the players. And then we can have a bit more of a spectacle for what we're accustomed to, which is, you know, open running footy of all sorts. But that weather was atrocious, man. Both those sides did well to play in that, man.
100%. One of the big talking points to come from that game that I've seen circulating online already is the no try to Dallin, the tackle in the air, should it have been a penalty try? And I think there was a conversation right on halftime between Sean and the referee, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but he said Dallin probably would have scored, but the comms throughout the competition has been to not give that as a penalty try. In your opinion, Dallin finishes that, doesn't he?
Well, my opinion doesn't really matter. It goes down to the letter of the law. Now, I looked that up because a few fans that pushed it through to me, and before I talk about this, we have got a lot of things to work on ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
But this is a huge call within the game. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about black and white, which is what we seem to see from these referees, and it's not just the referees, they get it from up above and they're just delivering what they need to do. You're in that situation. Now, in the laws, it means if you deem that some foul play has caused an opposition person not to score a try, that would have been a try. You got the right to call it a penalty try. And I mean, to the letter of the law, he goes up, he catches that ball, he comes down. If he's not tackled, he scores that try. Only reason why he drops that ball is because at that moment when he's coming down with, you know, being held by another player, he has thoughts of risking the position he falls in. So for me, and as the referee said when he was running off the field, that he believes it was, in fact, a try. If that didn't happen, well, then why didn't he call the penalty?
Yeah, for sure. And I don't mean that to take away from Newcastle at all, like you said, because I think they deserve to get the win. But momentum is massive in games like that. And we saw it with the Jackson Ford blocking call as well. Just one try can really change the outcome of a game, can't it?
Jackson Ford, fair enough. We've seen that time and time again. And although I don't agree with it, there's been other teams that have been hard done by. You know, when you've got the third man stopping and you knew that it was a try out on one man, which was the winger there, there's no way he's going to get across to stop that. But we've seen that time and time again. But also, I just get a little bit worried where our game is going, because as a defender in the line, when you see a person running that straight line, a four man coming in onto you, it's not too hard just to take a step inside and then you can change where he's hitting.
Yeah,
he's hitting your outside shoulder or he's hitting your chest, as opposed to your inside shoulder, you know, and that's smarts from his point of view. But then again, it ruins the game a little bit more. You know, this is a game that you've enjoyed for so long and you just want players to show how brilliant they are rather than strategically staying down if you get hit. And we had a couple of our players who stayed down when they got hit. Now, that's not who they are, but they have to play it by the letter of the law to get the benefits as everyone else is. I mean, there was a time when I think there was some kick pressure from Tamari Martin, and I think it was Hetherington out in that position as a blocker. Now, you can't block in this game. It's a penalty. Now, what Tamari could have done and should have done, like Hastings did, is he should have just ran straight into the blocker and fall over, because then you get the penalty. So I'm a little bit worried where our game is going if everyone wants to win as much as we do. Everyone wants to win. So when you get in those situations, you've got to do the right thing by your team. Maybe your integrity gets called into question, but you know if you do that, you're going to get the penalty. And when you talk about momentum shifts and you get in the extra set, it makes a huge difference. But once again, going back to my comment on the boys, we have a lot of things to sort out. This is not why we won or lost the game, but when you're thinking about moments and you're thinking about momentum shifts and and being able to jump and capitalize on these sort of plays, it does make a little bit of a bearing on the game.
Before we park that one and move on to the Roosters clash coming up this week, I did want to mention a couple individuals who I thought were outstanding, not only this week, but last week as well. Adam Fanua Blake, an absolute monster. He had to play bigger minutes because, like you touched on, that injury to Kurt Capewell pushed Barnett out to an edge and Adam rolled up his sleeves through the middle, but he's been out the gate, hasn't he?
He's been the best prop in the competition by a long, long while. Everything, you know, there's parts of his game where it's just trying to stop him first and foremost because he's got the late feet. And then once you think you've stopped him, like actually getting in the way and you're holding on, you're actually getting post carry meters on you through that whole period. It's his ball playing ability to score a try, to hit lines and to fade on the ball, on the catch. There's nothing he can't do. Mm. And although he's not as big as Saifiti and some of these other boys across Manly and everywhere else, he is an absolute weapon with wonderful feet. So he is going to be a huge loss next year. A wonderful game. And Barnett against his old side. You know, for him, even him, he made that little mistake in terms of the ball being squeezed out. But he was everywhere, man. He's like that every game. Doesn't matter if you're playing against Newcastle's old side or anyone. That's just how he turns up and how he wants to play. He's the 2% king in terms of those little efforts and doing what no one expects you to do. But as a result, it just accumulates and then your side is better off and closer to getting the win because of all those little effort areas that he does, man.
Yeah, just on that, Mitch seems to be the type of guy who really sets the tone for us defensively as well. I think there was a kick chase there where he was the first one there. He's been playing a lot of prop in the middle. The fact that he's getting there first, but there's been a lot of chat about him playing in Origin as well. How do you think Mitch would go on that stage? Because he seems like he's tailor-made for it, right? He's got the mongrel, the aggression, and he just goes.
It's a shame when Mitch had to come out onto the edge for a little while because I think when he's in the middle of the field, I think he does set the tone and he is that pretty much that alpha that ensures that you lead the line speed and ensures that when there's an opportunity to go and lay a shot and go after them defensively, that he does. Kick pressure, kick chase. He's that guy that just holds you accountable because if your mate inside you when you're tired and blowing is doing that and he's yelling at you for not doing it, that's when you really got to pull finger and have a go. But you look, I'm a Queensland man, but he's made for Origin. He just does all the, you know, as we said, the little things that make a huge difference. He doesn't mind putting his head in dark places. And I literally feel he would just be happy to die out there.
Yeah.
Because he is that guy that just, you know, he just loves playing for the jumper that he's in. And I know that means a lot to him. But just also that pride that he has and that professionalism just to do the best he can each and every outing that he's out there.
The other guy I wanted to touch on was Dylan Walker and his impact off the bench since he's come back on. It's been a bench that's changed a lot week by week due to injuries and rotations, things like that. But it's great to have Walks back, right? The energy in the game just lifts to another notch whenever he gets his boarding pass.
Oh, look, he is just such a smart man. He is a walking encyclopedia of rugby league. His IP and knowledge of the game is just unreal. Often I've made mention of it before. I'd be in a meeting or I'd hear him talk on the odd occasion and just how smart he is and what he says is so enlightening and gives you true insight to something you probably didn't think about. His leg speed, you know, how physical he got at times, just ball playing ability, because don't forget he was there to cover if Egan got injured too.
Yeah.
And just his versatility across it. I did not think that he was going to come over and have such an impact on this team as he has. And what he's done in the last couple of weeks, don't forget he's had a long time off. So he hasn't had many reps. He hasn't had many games. But he just turns up and he does what Walks does. And that's just, you know, potentially change that game each time he's out there.
So the boys have gone into a bit of a camp this week over on the Central Coast. They're not coming back to New Zealand in order to prepare for this week's game. You've probably been in a few camps similar to this off the back of a few results that haven't gone your way. How big can this be to bond a team? Like, how valuable is this time together?
you know, we hear Weeby talking about having to stay tight, and the boys have made mention of that post-game as well, and no better way to stay tight than in camp together. They get those reps in again. They don't have to travel, because if you travel, you lose 2 days, really.
Yeah.
And so they don't have to do that, because you also got to travel back. So that's, you know, 3 to 4 days. And then you're away from each other, you know, and this is the time now where you got to be around each other a little bit more, mm-hmm. Talk about those moments, understand those moments and what they could do better to when they face themselves in those moments again in terms of adversity. But I do think it's a quicker fix than what people are. Individually, yeah. You just got to be better, you know, like it's as simple as what did I do this week going into the match? And if I had a good match, okay, well, I just have to rinse and repeat and do the same thing. And then if I don't, just tweak a little bit more. These are high-performance guys. These are guys with experience right now. And for them, it's just the fine balance of not trying too hard, staying within the systems, but also understanding that, you know, that they're not far off it. You know, and I know for the fans out there, they'll be some of them, you know, just a little bit worried.
Mm.
But that's mainly because they haven't been in camp seeing what the boys are doing to try and get the results and how hard they're taking it themselves as individuals and how they want to, you know, make sure they return serve and be better the following weeks.
Just on that, because I agree that we are so close. Do you think this year more than ever, the competition is so up and down at the moment? If you don't rock up and you're 100%, any team can beat anyone on their day, and we're seeing that as a result?
I always thought it was a competition like that, but as you mentioned that now, I don't think it's the same. You know, you look at the top three teams, I mean, there was at times when we played against them in moments, you know, we could have won against them all, and at times we made them look inferior. But you've got to do it for longer periods of time. You've got to do it week in, week out. And even though we've been struggling of late and haven't won in the last sort of 4 weeks, we're still very much in touch with the eight.
Mm.
And we know the four is where we want to be. But every game, nothing's changed for the Warriors as they want to get there, they want to win and compete for the 2 points week in, week out.
Roosters in Sydney, it is a huge occasion and it's a great opportunity as well to make a real statement, go out there and put in a big performance, and all of a sudden the momentum can shift massively as well. But from your perspective, what do you want to see from the team this week heading into this Roosters game?
Oh, look, individually the boys just have to be better. I think there was improvement on their defence, improvement on their wrestle. But then you've got to make sure that you don't leave it to the back end to even up the stats, because by then it's all too late. You know, throughout the whole period of the game, you've got to have at least 50%, because that means you've got a bit more potency in your attack. That means you're less predictable, or you can make better decisions. And I think it just doesn't give the opposition too much time. It is a game of inches, but also that momentum is hard to shift and change. And I know the Roosters defensively, they're going to come after us, because, you know, that line speed we've seen over many years have been really good. And it's the Roosters of old again. It's the Roosters resurgence this year, and they've got some wonderful players as well. And any time you play expat Kiwis, or you've got Kiwis in the opposition team, man, they love to come and haunt the Kiwi boys. So I don't think it's going to be any different this time. But, you know, I think it's a great time if you ever want to bounce back. And if you've been in camp with teams before, Kiwis love it. I know we've got our sprinkling of Australian brothers there, but they love it too. You know, they're being in there, being close together, and just making sure that you all have that common goal, man.
And one of those Kiwi lads playing for the Roosters, if he's named this week, has the potential to play his 300th NRL game. Just on Big Jared, obviously he's been an enforcer in the Kiwis jersey, but in the Roosters jersey as well. What have you made of his career? A quick summary of the type of player Jared is?
Oh, he's a legend. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's that guy that goes out there and rightly or wrongly, and sometimes it works against him, as he just cares so much that he goes out there and just leaves it all out there on the line. Big, strong body, and he has been for a number of years. I tell you what, every week when you see the tip sheet, you look to see if Jared's playing or not, if you're the opposition, because you go, oh, geez, and I have no doubt that they'll be looking up when they've got times, and it's not just the Warriors team, other teammates as well, they look up and see, where is he? Because he's been known to come out of that line, and what a career, huge celebration. What he's done for the Kiwis especially, but also his service in the NRL, because they play Manly as well as the Roosters. A wonderful career, and I'm sure he's helped a lot of Kiwis as well as other people around the world get excited and want to be a rugby league player, man. So I tip my hat to him, man, if I had one.
And there, it has been a couple of weeks since we spoke last, and there's been some really positive stories to come out of the Warriors as well. So I just wanted to touch on those a couple before we wrap things up. The first one for me, the debut of Zion back on Anzac Day, 13 minutes, but he put in a massive shift. And I think we saw there the potential that this kid has for the future. I think he's going to become a real fan favorite because he backfences it with the best of him, doesn't he? He's got zero fear in his game.
Oh, look, I think we were first commentating him in under 20s. It was a provincial competition, and he was by far the most outstanding player. And I think he was 17 at the time, Kelston boy. His family was out here in force. There was a number of them that came in for the jersey presentation. It meant so much to them. It meant so much to Zion. He gets emotional at times. And just seeing his progress over the last sort of year since I've been here has been exceptional. And, you know, like Webby said to Zion, and what he said out publicly, it takes a little bit longer when you're in the middle and at their prop stakes, even if you have been a superstar of the earlier years. But, you know, when he came off that back fence, you know, it brought back memories of Hydra Okasini, Yafitsa Palesina, Joe Vangana, and that's something that he wants to do, and he wants to do well. He's not a big body, but, you know, as you mentioned, he changed the momentum. And when he runs like that, and he's a little bit smaller, it just makes everyone else in the team go, if he's going to run like that, I better run like that.
Yeah.
You know, put the people on notice. And I think he will be a crowd favourite. But, you know, like everything, he's just got to build that engine. It was a nice time for him to debut at home, special moment, and to have all his family in the stands, because you've got to be doing it week in, week out. And you've got to make sure that that engine is there so that you, when you play those long minutes and against those really good teams, like Titans were that day, you just can't let anyone down.
He's got Adam and Mitch to mentor him at the moment, and next year he'll have the current Kiwis captain and James Fisher-Harris coming into the system as well. How excited were you to see that signature come across your desk? It's a massive signing for the club, isn't it?
It's huge. It's a big signing for the club. It's a big signing for Kiwi Rugby League as well, New Zealand Rugby League. To have a guy return home, still at the peak of his powers, to, you know, come back with three grand final consecutive rings, Golden Boot Award, Kiwi captain, to come back. And for him as well, the opportunity to finish career here and maybe do something special is absolutely awesome, man. What a signing. I don't know if he's going to be as brilliant or as exceptional as Adam on the field and what terms we've seen, but off the field, always being reliable on the field and just being that alpha new age enforcer who is bloody scary. And is, from what I'm hearing, is just has huge standards, and he makes sure everyone in and around him has standards. It's nothing but good news for this club, man.
The Harold Matt side bringing home some silverware, or if they were allowed to, they would have brought it home. But a great win for the club, first year in the competition, just showcasing that talent that we have here in New Zealand. What a positive that is.
It's unbelievable, really. It's, you could say it's a fairy tale, because I saw them early on through that year, and they had the easiest run going into a final series. But what they did in the final series was absolutely amazing. To go over there 3 weeks in a row to play an unbeaten side and to beat them convincingly, and then in the final, when most people could have thought, like, we've got to the final, we've made history, that's enough. It wasn't enough for them. And even in that game, there was moments where, you know, coming down 10-0 against them early on, that they still did what they needed to do, stay in the game, to work their way back. And then when it got a little bit wobbly towards the back end of that grand final, they just didn't, you know, they didn't give in. They were absolutely amazing. Some wonderful talent, some great young kids. And the size of them, I tell you that, because they are big boys, even probably bigger than the SG Ball, which is the under 19.
Yeah, right.
So seeing them come through, seeing them change in terms of having a little bit more confidence, and even confidence on the field in the way they play with the great leaders, it's just amazing to see. And I thank the young men, because, you know, that's how their flame gets a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want to stick around, they want to do that, and they make it a little bit easier for other people to understand that you can do it here in the New Zealand Warriors pathways.
And then finally, the Cup side pulling off another last gasp win there. Geronimo Doyle with a bit of magic to secure the dub. Great to see that team racking up wins as well.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a year where they're going to have more wins than they're not. But, you know, they've struggled a little bit, but they've come back. It's always a disruptive sort of year for Cup, because it's never about the Cup. It's always about the first grade. And when you've got problems in the first grade, it filters down through the Cup, you know. And we had, I think we had about three or four SG Ball boys from under-19s this year playing in that Cup team in the weekend.
Awesome.
So that's what Pathways is about. And for them to come in and to have people like Ed Kossi there, being able to mentor them and help them out, It's really great to see, and to see guys that we worked with under 19s come through and shine and play well when asked of them is what it's all about. And I know Robbo, who's injected a lot of money into this place and into the Pathways new gym and everything else, because it's not cheap having all these teams come through. Five of them going to be six next year with NRRW. It makes him feel better because he knows that you're getting some huge results for the love that he's put into this club.
Well, Mons, we'll leave it there, mate. Appreciate your time on a Monday morning, and no doubt you're just as excited as I am to see a big performance this weekend against the Roosters,
mate. Let's go, brother.
Go well. Cheers.